We're going to continue our series on Jesus, name above all names. Wonderful name of Jesus. The name that is higher above. There is no other name that can be given on this earth that is higher than the name of Jesus. There are two verses that we have been focusing upon for this series from Matthew chapter 1:21. It says, "If she will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins." And Philippians 2:9, which says, "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." There is one more verse that describes about this wonderful name that is given to Jesus Christ, which talks about the fact in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20, though it is not projected here. I just got reminded of it and I thought I'll share this with you from the letter of Paul the Apostle to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and it says in verse 20 and 21, notice this carefully as I read, "which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named." The name that is given to Jesus Christ is far above everything. And the name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Forever, the name that is given to Jesus Christ is above all. And that is the name that we are meditating upon. We should never use the name of Jesus in vain. And that is what we have been meditating upon in the past weeks as well. The name of Jesus, especially from the fact that the name of Jesus in Acts chapter 4, it says, "There is no other name that is given in heaven or in earth, the name by which we can be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ." Only through the name of Jesus Christ, the exclusivity of Jesus Christ is mentioned there, that there is no other name but the name of Jesus Christ by which we can be saved. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved from this eternal destruction? God wants to save you and I. And he wants to remind each one of us that he has come into this world to save us from our sins. And that is why his name that was given was the name of Jesus Christ. So today, may the Lord enable us to reflect upon the continuation on this name of Jesus from the acronym perspective. Acronym perspective. In the past couple of weeks, we have meditated upon J, which means joy. He is the joy giver. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. He has brought joy that has nothing to do with happenings in our lives. He has given us the inner joy that can never be taken away, because Jesus is the one who is the giver of joy, and God has given the joy through Jesus Christ. Great joy that is filled in our hearts. And then recently we meditated on enlightenment also. In other words, light. He is the giver of light. Light of the world, he stepped down into darkness and opened our eyes of blindness so that we may see him. And that is a wondrous thing about the name of Jesus. So today we are going to meditate on another aspect of the purpose of Jesus coming into this world. And for that, the letter S that we are going to meditate upon is sonship. What a wondrous thing it is. When I see this picture, I can see the Father spending time with the Son. Maybe some of us still have fathers on this earth. Some of us don't have. Earthly fathers, they have left this world. But there is one Father who will never leave us, and that is our Heavenly Father, my dear. Sometimes you may not have the strong relationship that you as a son need to have with your earthly father. But we have a heavenly father who wants to have the constant relationship with you in spite of the situations that are happening in your life. And today we are going to focus upon that one verse from Galatians chapter 4 verses 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 4 verses 4 and 5. And the thought, we'll all read this together, please. All of us, let us read this and then we can fill in the blanks. "When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." You can fill in the blanks now. You can fill in the blanks that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. What a wondrous statement this is. When the fullness of time came, at the right time, God sent his son. The book of Isaiah, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, born of a woman. In other words, though he is a son of God, he was born to a woman. Typically, people say that he is born to so-and-so as a father, earthly father. But in this particular case, Jesus Christ was born to a virgin. So that is the focus on here, the born of a woman, the Mary, and born under the law. He took all the things that he had to take up under the punishment of the law for the sake of sins, so that he might redeem us. Let us read that in another language, in Telugu language. Telugu andram kalisi chadukundamu. Galatiyalaku rasina patrika 4 adhyayamu 4-5 vachanalu kalisi chadukundam. Aithe kalamu paripurnamainappudu దేవుడు తన కుమారుని పంపెను. ఆయన స్త్రీ అందు పుట్టి మనము దత్తపుత్రులము కావలనని ధర్మశాస్త్రమునకు లోబడి ఉన్న వారిని విమోచించుటకై ధర్మశాస్త్రమునకు లోబడిన వాడు ఆయను. హీ హింసెల్ఫ్ వెంట్ అండర్ ద లా సో దట్ హీ మే రిడీమ్ దోస్ దట్ వర్ అండర్ ద లా. లెట్ ఇస్ రీడ్ దస్ ఇన్ ఎన్ ఉర్దూ లాంగ్వేజ్ ఆల్సో. లేకిన్ జబ్ వక్త్ పూరా హో గయా తో ఖుదా నే అప్నే బేటే కో భేజా జో ఔరత్ సే పైదా హువా ఔర్ షరియత్ కే మహతక్ పైదా హువా తాకి షరియత్ కే మతహో కో మోల్ లేకర్ చుడా లే ఔర్ హమ్కో లేపాలక్ హోనే కా దర్జా మిలే. ఐ ట్రైడ్ ఇట్ అండ్ ఐ హోప్ యు ఆల్ వర్ ఏబుల్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ బికాస్ ఉర్దూ అండ్ హిందీ ఆర్ వెరీ సిమిలర్ అండ్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ వాట్ ఇట్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ అ బ్యూటిఫుల్ లాంగ్వేజ్ ఇఫ్ యూ రియలీ లుక్ ఎట్ దిస్ లాంగ్వేజ్ ఆఫ్ ఉర్దూ. And how apne bete ko bheja, that is Christmas. God sent forth his son. From the book of Galatians, we are able to study Christmas. Isn't it wonderful? And he sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that those he could redeem those who are under the law, in order to us to receive the adoption as sons. We just sang the song, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. But I am your son. Now I am your son, adopted in your family. And I can never be alone because Father God, you are there beside me. What a wonderful song that is. You can never be alone, my dear. Maybe you are thinking that you are feeling alone. Though you might have a family, you might still be feeling alone because you are unable to experience the love of your family. Maybe you're not able to have the people that you need to love you. But we have a God who loves us. We have a Father who never leaves us. Our earthly fathers might have left us physically or might have left us emotionally. But we have a Heavenly Father who has received us and adopted us into their family. A couple happened to make this statement and I thought I will read it out to you. And this couple, he didn't mention his name, but he wrote this statement. My wife and I waited 15 years for a child that never came by the natural way. However, we were approached one day with a lead of a newborn, not yet born. I remember standing in front of the judge on our day of adoption. He pointed his finger and asked of me, the judge asked me, is anyone coercing you to adopt this little boy? Is anybody forcing you or trying to do something in order to adopt this little boy? After we had assured him that we were doing so out of love, he made this statement, the judge made this statement. From today on, he is your son. He may disappoint you, even grieve you, but he is your son. Everything you own one day will be his, and he will bear your name. Then the judge looked at the clerk and gave this command. So order a change in this child's parents. in this child's birth certificate and made reflect that these are the parents of this child. It was then I realized that my Heavenly Father loved me so much without coercion. He loved me and gave His all of me, all for me. On that day, He changed my name, and I gladly bear this Heavenly Father's name and His image. That is what adoption is. I don't know how many of us sitting here may be an adopted child, or you know about adoption. Let me tell you, it's not an easy task. But the moment a person is adopted into a family, they get all the privileges and rights to be called their children. Even here, if you notice here in this particular story that I was just reading, the birth certificate itself is being changed with the new parents. That is what adoption is. Bearing the name of the parent. That is what adoption is, my dear. Don't think light of this adoption. We as human beings born with a sinful nature, we don't have that relationship with God as a father by birth. We are born as children of this world, children of the devil, in terms of the sinful nature that we are in. There are only two kinds of children, the Bible says in 1 John. The children of the devil or children of the Father, God. There's none in between. Either you are a children of God the Father or you are the children of a devil. And God the Father, He wanted to take you and take that act just like these parents did. They took the act in order to be able to adopt this child, to become their child. That is act of God. Today we are going to meditate on this aspect of sonship. What a wondrous thing it is, sonship. Let me tell you, when I say sonship, it includes daughters also. As a child, in other words. And the Bible is very clear. And I want to refer to that one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians verse 6 and verse 18. Because God is a God who cares for both men and women. No difference. When He says sons, it includes sons and daughters. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. What a wonderful thing it is. When He says sons, sonship, it includes sons and daughters. God wants you and I to be His children. He doesn't need sons and daughters, but you need a father. And that is why He's becoming a father for you. He doesn't want to leave you orphaned. He doesn't want you to perish, but have eternal life. And that is what the purpose of this particular aspect that we are understanding here. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I want to read from verse 1. In my Bible, the New American Standard Bible, the heading says, Sonship in Christ, interestingly. Wonderful, right? The sonship that He has given, the S in the Jesus, we are meditating on the sonship. I want to start from verse 1 onwards. Listen to this carefully. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is the owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also, we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, fullness of time came. Notice this carefully. God is a God who does things at the right time. Maybe you are waiting for something in your life. You may be wondering why this is not happening. God is a God who is a well-planned God. He knows what to do, how to do, when to do also. He is a God who makes sure that the time is fulfilled. In verse 4, when the fullness of time came, when the right time came, that is what something that you and I should recognize here, that we have a God who is making sure that he does things at the right time. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. God sent forth his son. It was God's act that he sent forth his son. That was a way in which he wanted to make sure that we gain the sonship. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Notice this carefully, verse 5. So that he might redeem those who are under the law. Notice the word redeem. Let's note the first point in our sermon notes. Redeemed by Christ. Redeem. It's an important word. Those of us who wear the Zion t-shirts, on the back of the t-shirts, you know what the word is? Redeemed. There is no better word than to be able to be called the redeemed. A redemption. What is this redeemed? What does redeem mean? The word redeem means to be able to gain back something that you need to get. God created man, but man, because of his sinful nature, went away from God or caused a chasm between God and man. And God wanted to redeem that which was lost. We were lost in our sins. And God wanted to buy back. He paid a ransom to redeem us back into his fold. A story is talked about a little boy who built a small boat. He's a good creator. So he took some good wooden pieces and he prepared a beautiful boat. He painted it so well that it looked as if it is, you know, something which is a professional one. It looked so good, that little boat that he prepared. He took a lot of time in preparing such a beautiful boat. And he thought, what is the purpose of this boat? The boat should go into the ocean. So he went to the ocean shore and put his beautiful boat onto the ocean shore. And when he put that, there was a big wave that came and took that boat inside. And he was shouting all along, "Oh, my boat! Oh, my boat! I lost my boat." He cried so much that he lost his created boat. That boat that he created with his hands, he painted with his hands, he lost that boat. He went back to his home, worried about it. After a few months, he was going along with his dad to a shop. And he noticed in the window of the shop, he noticed a boat which looked exactly like his. He went and noticed the paint and all, it is exactly his own boat. He recognized his own boat. And he said, he went along with his dad and he talked to the shopkeeper. And he said, "Sir, that is my boat. You must have found it when you were in the ocean." He said, "Somehow we got this. It is right now for sale." "Sir, this is mine. I created it. I need my boat back." And the shopkeeper said, "Sorry, sir. You need to pay to buy this boat." "But," he said, "this is mine." "No, sir. You still need to pay." And he paid the price which the father had given. And the boy gave the price to this shopkeeper and got back his own boat. He redeemed that boat so much so that he had to pay a price to get back that boat. That is what God did. He created us, but because of our sinful nature, we were lost. And God, he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who laid his life for us. He paid the price of penalty for dying for us on the cross of Calvary so that he can buy us back. That is what redemption means. You can redeem your coupons. That's a word that we typically use. Redeem your coupons before it is expired. So I know, I don't know how many of you keep keeping the coupons. Some people used to, there were olden days where there were no online coupons. People used to tear from the newspapers and magazines and put it into a small purse or something and carry it across to redeem coupons. To be able to say, okay, if I give this coupon, probably I'll get it for free. Or I might get it for a lesser price. I need to give that coupon in order to be able to get a better price. But to buy us back, there needed a someone who had to give his life for us. A sinless person to give his life for us. And that was done by Jesus Christ. He paid it in full. That is what redemption is, my dear. Ephesians, the next chapter. Chapter 1. Wonderful spiritual blessings that talk about here. I want to read from verse 3 onwards. Notice this carefully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Verse 5. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. He freely bestowed upon us. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. We can stop there. The spiritual blessings that are being talked about, the adoption that he has given us, the redemption that he has caused through his own blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Oh my dear, what a wondrous thing it is that we are redeemed by Christ. The purpose of Jesus Christ coming into this world, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, because it should be a sinless person who needed to be born. Not because of the will of man, but will of the Father. God was born of a woman, of a virgin Mary, born under the law, so that those who are under the law may be redeemed. Because the law tells that we are sinners. The law says that we have disobeyed the commandments of God. Because of the law of God, we know that we are sinners. God has some certain standards. There is no way in which we can meet that standard. And to meet that standard, God cannot deny himself. He made that law. And he said that the wages of sin is death. For those of us who are committing sin, we are bound to die forever. And so God himself was born under the law so that we may be redeemed from the law to be able to experience his grace. What a wondrous Christmas message it is. Redeemed by Christ. He has paid the price. He was born under the law. Though he made the law, he became a human being under the law. It's just like this. When you committed a sin, or you committed an offense, in other words, in this particular legal terms, you may have been bought, if you were brought to a court of law, and that person says, the judge says, you need to pay the price for the offense that you have committed. And the person says, sorry, sir, I cannot. I cannot pay this price. But the judge, according to the law, the judge says the price has to be paid. But he has a concern towards that person. And what does he do? In the story that I've heard about, the judge himself gave the money and said, because we need to fulfill the law, and you cannot fulfill the law by yourselves, I'm going to give the price so that you may be redeemed from it. I'll pay the penalty for your offense, so that you may be redeemed. You may become freed from the guilt and the law under which you were born. Such is a wonderful thing about the redemption of Christ. And based on that redemption of Christ, Galatians chapter 4, back to Galatians chapter 4, and verse 5, redeem those who are under the law. And then what does it say? The second one? Receive the adoption as sons. Receive, note it down in your sermon notes. First, redeemed by Christ, and then receive adoption. Receiving the adoption. God did the act of redemption. And you and I need to receive that option. The receiving that option is another wonderful act of God. To be able to say, Lord, I thank you that you have redeemed me and I'm able to receive the adoption as sons. And here it says, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Jesus Christ called God the Father, Abba, Father. And we are able to see that here, that Jesus Christ, in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, let's look at that. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Yes, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not I will, but your will. He was able to call God the Father as Abba, Father, Abba. When we get hurt, what do we say? Amma. Or most likely, people who don't know the Telugu language, you say, Abba. What does it mean? You express something here in order to be able to say an expression. But there is a meaning to that Abba. I think in Urdu, they call it Abba. Abba. Abba means father. We have fathers and daughters here. Fathers and sons here. What a wonderful relationship God has given us. And he wants to call us as his children. Just like Jesus Christ called the Father, Abba Father. Now that Spirit of Jesus Christ is given into our hearts. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 4. Verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When was the last time you called your father, Abba, Father? Abba, Father. Father is more of a a formal word, but a more informal word is Abba or Dada, Daddy. When your child calls you Abba or Daddy, how wonderful you feel. First time when your child opened his or her mouth and said Daddy, Dada, Abba. That the closest relationship that happens is Abba or Daddy. You can call the Heavenly Father as Daddy. You may not be able to call your own dad right now because you may not be available. But you can still call your Heavenly Father as Abba, Father. He has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of God. God sent forth his Son so that we may receive the adoption as sons. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14 onwards, as I read, let us try to be able to see here. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice this carefully, verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery. Receiving adoption is what we are focusing upon. Receive. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. We don't need to be in the bondage of sin anymore because we are redeemed by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who came down into this world to redeem you from your sinful nature? Do you believe that? He has done that part. He wanted to adopt you as his child. Do you recognize it to receive that adoption to say, yes, I receive? Or are you saying, no, I don't need to receive that adoption of being called the child of God? Here it says, but you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. When was the last time you prayed to this Heavenly Father saying, Abba, Father? It shows your closest relationship that you can have when you say, Abba, Father. You'll be repeating the words
that Jesus spoke in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Abba, Father. He knew that there is a Father who loves him so much, yet he was willing to accept the sufferings that he was going through. Just because you are going through a suffering in your life, have you stopped praying? Are you not able to have the right relationship with the Heavenly Father? You can still have it just like Jesus had, where he said, Abba, Father. Nevertheless, my will, thy will be done. If it isn't your will, take this cup away from me. Yet not I will, thy will be done. If you can say that to that Abba, Father, who knows the best for you, who knows the right time when he will do the right thing in the right way. That is what the greatness of a father is. As an earthly father, we know how to be able to take care of our children. We know what is best for our child. We know when is best for our child. We know how to give the best for our children. Our Heavenly Father is there. Maybe you are going through sufferings right now, but don't ever forget to pray the way Jesus prayed. Abba, Father. Why am I going through this situation in my life? Why is this happening in my life? What is my family? What is my job situation? What is my health situation? What is my financial situation? What is my marital situation? Whatever is going on in your life, remember, we have an Abba Father who cares for us. He has given us the adoption as sons. And here we see that he's the one who has enabled us to receive the spirit of adoption. Verse 16, Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. No one needs to tell you. There's no human being that can tell that this so-and-so is a child of God. The Spirit himself should testify with your spirit that you're a child of God. Is the Spirit of God testifying with your spirit that you're a child of God? If not, today is the day to be able to experience that sonship that you can receive through the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. What a wonderful passage this is. We'll meditate on this. We'll come back to this verse again. But for now, I want us to focus on another portion in the Bible where it talks about the sonship or being called the children. John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. If you have the King James Version, you can please read it aloud. John chapter 1 and verse 12. As many that have received him, to receive the adoption, receiving the spirit of sonship. For as many as received him, he is offering that adoption to you. Are you receiving that? Have you been able to recognize that he has redeemed me? I want to receive that adoption as sons. I want to be called the child of God. As many as received him. Not all are responding. Not all are responding. But the desire of God is that all may come to the knowledge of him. As many, not a few. He wants to have as many as possible. As many as received him. To them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Please read it in any other version, English version. Let me read this in New American Standard. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You need to believe that he has come to redeem you. You need to believe that he has adopted you as his child. And that is what the last thing that you want to note down. Right to become the sons. Redeemed by Christ. Receiving the adoption. Once you receive that adoption to be called the child of God, you have the right to be called the children of God. You have the right. You have the rights, in other words. All the privileges of a child that is born
in your family, the adopted child also gets all the privileges. That is what I want to focus upon today. He wants to give all the rights to become the children of God. Power. Please read in any other language. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Tannu endaru angikarinchiro. Yesu prabhuni angikarinchava ani adutaru kada kontamandi. Ante enti? To be able to recognize that he has redeemed me and he has adopted me. I am receiving by faith. Okay, chadavandi. Tannu endaru angikarinchiro. వారందరికి అనగా తన నామమందు విశ్వాసముంచు ప్రతి వానికి అంటే ఏంటి నామము వి ఆర్ మెడిటేటింగ్ ఆన్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ జీసస్ బై ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ జీసస్ ఓన్లీ యూ కెన్ బి సేవ్డ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ద ఫెయిత్ దట్ యు హ్యావ్ ఇన్ దట్ నేమ్ ఆఫ్ జీసస్ క్రైస్ట్ దట్ ఈస్ అబౌవ్ ఆల్ నేమ్స్ తన నామమందు విశ్వాసముంచు చదవండి దేవుని పిల్లలాగుటకు ఆయన అధికారం ఇచ్చాడు. He has given the authority to be called the children of God. When does he give that right to become the children of God or sons of God? To those who receive him and to those who believe in his name. Notice the fact. To them he has given the right to be called the children of God. Because he has done everything. He has come into this world. God sent forth his son. Redeemed us with his precious blood. All he's saying is, whoever believes in him. Yesterday we were meditating on John chapter 3 and verse 16. Whoever believes in him. Here he says, to those who believe in his name. Ayana namamandu viswasamanchuvaru. Are you believing in his name? Or are you just saying, okay, this is, I've been hearing on and on and on. There is something about belief. And that belief is that Jesus came into this world to redeem me from my sinful nature. And God has adopted me into his family. Do you receive that adoption? Have you received that fact? Have you recognized that fact? Saying, Lord, I thank you that you have come into this world. I have been rejecting that adoption in a way to be able to run away from you because the sinful nature is taking me away. Just like last week we meditated about. Light has come into this world, but people went away because they loved darkness. They don't want to accept the light. They don't want to receive the light. Maybe the time has come for you to receive. Receive him, my dear. The gift is being given. When somebody is offering you a gift, if you put your hands back, how does it look? It's offending, right? To someone. If somebody is trying to give, please take it. Now, putting your hands back or going away, it's an offense in a way. I don't know if you have felt that way, but God is offering his son to you and says, this is my son, take him. And what are you doing? Time has come for you. Time has come for you, my dear. As the Spirit of the Lord is working in you, may you open your heart and receive him as your personal Savior and Lord. Another way to look at it from Romans chapter 8. Quickly we look at three things. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. What does it say? Please read it aloud. So the first thing let us note down in the second box that we have in our sermon notes. Led by the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit, they are called the sons of God. Chadavandi evarina telugulo 14th vachanam. Atma cheta, devuni atma cheta endaru nadipimpadu. Those who are led by the Spirit of God. If you are being led by the Spirit of God, working in your spirit, there is nothing physical here, my dear. There is nothing emotional here. It is spiritual. Those who are led by the Spirit, they are called the sons of God. If you want to read in any other language, any other version, you can read it. It says those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And secondly, note down this, not only led by the Spirit of God, Want any guesses for the next one? Loved by the Father. Loved by the Father. Where do I find this? Keep your finger on Romans chapter 8 and go to the first letter of John chapter 3. First letter of John chapter 3. There's a song that I get reminded whenever I read this. So I want you to read it in King James Version. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Enough, sister, thank you. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. These scripture-based songs are so wonderful. I love them. Because as and when you read this, you just get reminded of the songs that are written and the tune behind it. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God or the children of God. It is the love of the Father that has caused you to be called the child of God. Led by the Spirit, loved by the Father. Yesterday we were meditating on John chapter 3 verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved us so much, my dear. He loved us so much that he wants us to be called the children of God. Called children of God. Not only the right to be called the children of God, but his desire is that you and I be called the children of God. Third and final, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Verse 17. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Or in other words, lifted up with him. Just like Jesus Christ was lifted up high above all. If we suffer with him, we also may be lifted up with him. I think you got the word now. Lifted by the Son. Along with the Son, he wants us to lift up because we are fellow heirs with Christ. You know what heir is? It's not hair. H is silent. Fellow heir. H-E-I-R. Fellow heir with Christ. Meaning we also got the adoption to be called the sons of God. And when we also are called the sons of God, it says, notice this verse 17, if indeed we suffer with him. Are you suffering for Christ's sake? Are you suffering for the name of Christ? There are many people who are going through the sufferings for Christ, being persecuted for Christ. Maybe you're going through personal sufferings right now. Something that is bothering you right now. May I encourage you in the name of Jesus Christ that if you suffer with him, you will also be glorified with him. You will be lifted up because of Jesus Christ and his redemption that has occurred, that you'll also be lifted up or glorified with him. We got the very similar privileges as the Son of God. Similar privileges of being able to address him, Abba, Father, just like Jesus addressed him. I want to conclude with this bottom line statement. After everything, they say, okay, what is the conclusion after all of this? What is this understatement, or what does it say? Some people say that, okay, what is the final statement that you want to make? So for today's sermon, if at all you want to remember this, note this down, my dear. Notice this carefully. Shall we all read this together, the text that is in yellow? The Son of God became the Son of Man to make the sons of men the sons of God. You can note down that in your sermon notes. The Son of God, that is Jesus Christ, became the Son of Man. That means he became a human being. He called himself a Son of Man. He became the Son of Man to make the sons of men, that is you and I, human beings, the sons of God. That is sonship. And that is the message of Christmas, my dear. That is the message of Christmas. He wants you and I to be called or to become
the sons of God or daughters of God. Don't you want to accept that? He wanted to give the same privileges. I want to conclude with this small illustration. A Sunday school teacher was registering children, and she asked two brothers their age and birthday. One of the two boys said, "We are both 7. My birthday is April 8, 2004, and my brother's is April 20th, 2004. I repeat, one of the two boys said, "We are both 7. My birthday is April 8, 2004, and my brother's is April 20th, 2004. The teacher was a little confused and said, "But that's impossible." The other brother said, "No, it is not. It is, one of us is adopted." Before she was even aware, the words came out, "Which one? Which one?" The boys looked at each other and smiled. Then one of them said, "We asked Dad a while ago, but he just said he loved us and he couldn't remember anymore which one was adopted." Beloved, if you are in Christ, you are the child of the living God, born as if you are born literally, adopted legally into the family of God. We are the children of God, and if children, the heirs of God. That is the love of the Father. He didn't tell which one was adopted. Such is the love of the Father. He doesn't differentiate the one who is born into the family and the one who is adopted into the family. Doesn't matter physically whether you're adopted or born into a family. Maybe you didn't experience your earthly parents taking care of you. Maybe there were some foster parents who took care of you. But let me tell you, my dear, we have a Heavenly Father who has given His Son, Jesus Christ, so that He may adopt you. He paid the price of giving up His own Son in order to adopt you as His child. What is preventing you from being able to believe in this God who has loved us so much? He has loved us so much so that you and I can be called the children of God, the sonship that He has given us, the privileges of a child of God, the riches of His grace. We have a rich God. Never ever do you think, never ever consider that you're an orphan. Never ever consider that you're unloved, because we have a God who loves us. He has loved you so much, my dear. He never wants to leave us. He's the Emmanuel God who loves you so much. He doesn't want to leave you. What is preventing you from receiving that wonderful love of God? If you are led by the Spirit of God today, if your spirit is pricked right now to say, "Lord, is this what love is? Is this what love is?" I get reminded of this story. I'm sorry, I want to share this. There was a man in India during the British rule. It was a combined India and Pakistan during those days, who wanted to kill some missionaries who came from UK, the British missionaries. But their intention was to show forth the love of Jesus Christ. But this man did not like. He wanted to kill this missionary one day. So one night he went. He went into the surroundings of the house, and he wanted to slowly get into the house through the window. And he was trying to open the window, and he heard a prayer. The prayer of this missionary. He was praying this prayer. And he said, that missionary was praying, "Lord, thank you for your love. You have saved me. I pray for these people in this place. I got to know that somebody is trying to kill me. Lord, you love him so much. Lord, forgive him. Even if I'm going to be killed, Lord, please forgive him. Show forth your love to him as much as you showed your love to me. You made me your child. Why don't you make him your child as well?" He was praying that prayer about that person who was going to come and kill him. And that person, when he heard that prayer,
his heart melted. And he wrote the song. This happened in Andhra Pradesh. And he wrote the song, Ilatida Yesu Prema. Is this what the love of Christ is? He wrote that song. And many people sing that song, Ilatida Yesu Prema. The love of Christ has changed the person who wanted to kill that missionary. Nothing else but the love of God can transform us, my dear. He has transformed my life. He can transform your life also. What is preventing you from receiving this love of Christ? Listen to that song one day if you know the Telugu language. Ilatida Yesu Prema. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to receive that love of Christ. With our eyes closed and heads bowed down. If you want to receive the adoption as a son and daughter, I request you to please consider the love of Christ. The love that he has shown towards us to redeem us. Just receive him, my dear. Oh, I don't know if you'll get another chance to receive Jesus Christ. We don't know how long we'll live on this earth. But don't delay receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If that is your desire, I ask you to please just raise your hand once and say, brother, I can sense the love of Christ.